In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to our program, Treasures, commenting on the Romans letter, chapter 15. We were reading from verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. I want to remind you that the book of Romans was written specially for this problem, the Gentiles and the Jewish background. Because many of the Christians at that time were having this conflict to accept the Gentiles becoming Christian. Most of the people believed that Jew people should be Christian, but other people are not allowed to be Christian. And many of them considered that the law of Moses had a big deal, had a big role in salvation. St. Paul clarified that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the real God incarnate, He is the Savior, He is the only truth, He is the only way to heaven. And the law of Moses had nothing to do with the salvation of anyone. And by this, you know, he proved that everyone who believed in Christ, he should be baptized in the name of the Lord and be Christian as equal as any Christian coming from any background. So now he is repeating what he said before, that the Lord Jesus Christ, although he became Jew, he came as a Jewish man, he was circumcised to fulfill the promises of the fathers of the Jew, but his call, his mission was not for the Jew people, but for everyone. So he's saying, the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles. That's a prophecy. And the Gentiles was written in the early books of the Old Testament. I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. So His people stands for the Jewish people, and the Gentiles are not Jew. But all together, they will sing for Him in the New Testament, having the same faith, the same mind, being members in the one church. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Love Him, all you people. So, many verses, many prophecies from the Old Testament to prove that the plan of God was the salvation of everyone. And the Messiah did not come just for the Jew people, but for everyone. And the Gentiles are partakers of His kingdom. They will share in His mercy, in His kingdom of heaven. Again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. So mentioning the Gentiles in many verses, in many books of the Old Testament, to prove that the teaching of St. Paul is the teaching of the whole church. It was the plan of the Lord to save everyone through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jew and the Savior of all the Gentiles. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mentioning the word hope, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Now we all have hope in salvation. We all have the same hope. Our hope is Christ, the only Savior. We are having the hope to catch the kingdom, His kingdom, because we are following Him now. We are partakers of His kingdom. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may be abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. All these gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of the New Testament. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. After this long sayings, long letter, he is talking to his people in a very loving way. I myself am confident concerning you, my brother, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, and reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. So he's like reviving the whole letter, saying, although I believe that you are good people and understanding the doctrine of Christian faith, still I have to revise with you all this again. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. You all know that St. Paul used the word grace many times because he believed so much that all his gifts were kind of, you know, the gifts of the grace of God. He felt in himself that he is very little, and the God and God's grace is all the power in his service. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering to the gospel of God. He is happy with his service, ministering to the Gentiles. Because, you know, at some time the Gentiles felt inferior than the Jew part of the church. So he's saying, I'm the minister of the Gentiles. I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering to the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you read the Greek language of this verse, the word ministering is like kind of liturgist, meaning that he is saying about himself as a priest, as a liturgist. He is the one who is making the liturgy for the church of the Gentiles. So the word used in this verse is, you know, to prove that he had this degree of priesthood. You know, St. Paul was like a bishop in the church. He was ordained by the hands of the fathers of the church. So he is doing his priesthood activity and offering the Gentiles to God, offering them the holy body and holy blood of the Lord, and offering the people, the believed people, like an offering to God. Again, I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. So he is not praising himself, he is not speaking about his glory, he is speaking about the grace of God. And he could see in the last years that the grace of God was very much abundant. And thousands of the Gentiles people accepted faith and believed in Christ and became good Christian. So he is spreading the grace of God working in his ministry. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He's stating that he moved here and there in many countries to preach the word of God to the Gentiles. And he succeeded with many in mighty signs and wonders. So also he mentioned that God made wonders and signs through Paul himself by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, to have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You know, he moved from Jerusalem to Antioch, from Antioch to Asia. And he spent many years in Asia, moving around in Ephesus, in Galatia, in many areas, and then to Greece, to Philippi, Thessaloniki, Corinth, Athens. And then he, after that, at this time, he went to Rome. So this man preached the word of God to many countries at that time. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. St. Paul had a very nice, polite rule that he will not preach the name of God in anywhere that any of the apostles preaching in this place. In order to respect the boundaries of service, he was going on always to untouched areas, countries where never heard about the Lord, in order to put the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's saying, so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. So he is not, you know, serving in the same area of other service in order to make it, you know, with no problem. So he respected everyone's area because the world was wide enough to accommodate all the services. Lest I should build on another's man's foundation. Lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, he is always following the word of God. To whom he was not announced, they shall see. So his mission was for those who never heard about the Lord. To whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in this path, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. So he promised them that he will visit Rome. But by the way, he was in his third journey. Most of the time he spent at that time in Asia, and he had many problems at that time. But he knew after that he will go to Rome as a prisoner. He was imprisoned in Jerusalem and had many trials, and then he was taken to Rome as a prisoner. So he couldn't visit Rome like a preacher, but he went there as a prisoner. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. He was hindered because he respected other services, and he was busy in Asia. But now, no longer having a place in this path, at that time he had many problems and he had to leave Ephesus. And having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, he was planning to go to Spain, because no one went to Spain at that time. I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. So, you know, Rome in his way to Spain, so he was planning to stay in Rome for some time to enjoy the company of the people, the believers, and then he will travel to Spain. That was his plan, but you know, God had different plan, and he knew his God's plan after some time, and he accepted happily to go and stay in Rome as a prisoner for some time. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. So in his plan, he was going to Jerusalem. At that time, when he went to Jerusalem, he was imprisoned, and he started his trials. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. They say that at that time Jerusalem had a hard time. There were no food, no raining. So the early church in Jerusalem became very poor and they need everything. So St. Paul started in the churches following him. He was supervising many churches in Asia and Greece. So he asked all the church members to help him to contribute to the needs of Jerusalem. So he was traveling to Jerusalem with these gifts given by the people. I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Again, the word saints meaning the needy people. For it pleased those from Macedonia. Macedonia, it's like Philippi and the northern part of Greece. And Achaia, that's part of, you know, also related to Thessalonica and other areas really nearby. To make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. Because, you know, the people believed in Asia and Greece are, you know, indebted to the people of Jerusalem because they started to send them the gospel, the good news. So they owe them their good news. They pay back with some materialistic things, but the people of Jerusalem, the early church, the mother church, sent them the good news, the news of salvation. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. If they shared them the spiritual things, the spiritual gifts, to be sons and daughters of God, not less than paying back some materialistic things at time of need. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. So the plan was to go to Jerusalem to minister this service to the poor in Jerusalem and then sailing back to Rome and Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So he's encouraging them, saying that I'm happy with your faith and I'm coming with the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Look how humble he is. He is saying with the last words in his letter that I beg you, please pray for me. I need your prayers. You pray with me and for me. I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. So it's not just praying, but struggling in praying, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. So as if he expected that he will have a hard time in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Also in a humble way, he expected that people may not accept his gifts to the needy in Jerusalem, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. So as if he's finishing the whole story, finishing the letter, but actually we will, you know, have another chapter for the greetings and the prayings of the Roman letter. Glory to God. Amen.